pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Is our high school...
Middle school first?
Okay, I don't think our middle school person is here. Oh, middle school? Okay, come on.
Hi. Good evening. This past week at the high school has been very exciting. Our pep rally last week went very well with the students lined up in the bleachers and the sports teams showing all their school spirit. Also last week was homecoming, which had a great student turnout. We'd also like to congratulate our band on receiving an award for the district during their participation in the 54th annual Newsday Marching Band Festival. This year, our DECA chapter is partnering with the Variety Child Learning Center in Syosset to help them collect school supplies they are in need of. We hope to help those less fortunate than us and get the whole high school involved. Our college rep visits are also ongoing with reps from schools such as the ever-popular Syracuse coming this week. Thank you and have a good night.
No middle school, right? Okay. Board announcements? Susan?
So I'm going to echo our high school representatives' mention about the Newsday Marching Band Festival. I was there. I have to stay. First of all, I've been there for the last 3 years. I was so happy it was warm. It was a wonderful evening. But I have to say, I was very impressed with our students. The throwback to some of our favorite songs was fabulous. Our drum majors get out there and really lead the band. Mr. Loeb does a great job preparing our students. So they sounded terrific. I am biased to the percussion section. But the flags, what are the flag twirlers? Color Guard, they're fabulous. So I applaud them, and we did get the recognition. And Sal Selmer was at the directing the last, so he was there too. So
very
it was nice. It was very nice. It was a great evening. It really was, and it really showcased. And everyone can see it on Newsday, the live stream, if you couldn't catch it in person. So I highly recommend it.
Talk about it. Anybody else on this? Jody?
I just want to remind everyone that this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the POB Middle School Auditorium, we'll be having our candidates forum. We have candidates coming from Senate Districts 5 and 6, Assembly District 13, Nassau Legislative District 16, and I'm not sure if the congressional, I don't believe the congressional candidates are coming. Martins and Swazi? No. Okay. But, you know, everybody seems to be so focused on the, you know, very entertaining presidential election, but these local elections really have a very big impact on what happens here in our schools. So if you have the opportunity, come down and get to know these candidates and ask them your questions so you know who you're voting for.
Thank you. Lauren?
I just wanted to extend a thank you to Mr. Wiley for training the board on Google Docs this past last week. You're the patience of a saint.
We need a refresher.
Need a refresher. But it was great. And since that's the direction that the school district is going, at least we feel that we are a part of it. So thank you so much.
And I was very pleased to be at homecoming and see such community spirit. It was just a phenomenal, phenomenal time. So I thank those who did come out, and I thank our students and our staff for being in attendance. And it was really very special. So it was a pleasure walking with you, Jim. And I loved walking with the board as well. Thank you.
Ginger? A public service announcement. Anybody who wants to apply for an absentee ballot for the upcoming election, it must be postmarked no later than November 1st. There's voting going on at 240 Old Country Road, the Board of Elections. You can go in now and start to vote. So please exercise your right to vote. Thank you. Superintendent's announcements?
You have none.
They took mine.
Okay.
I was also at the marching band, and Mr. Murray and I and Ms. Girash enjoyed it, and Mr. Rogers was there. At the end of the marching band, they did join in America the Beautiful, and Sal Soma did direct that. We do need hats, though. Everybody else has great hats.
Uniforms. I just want to say.
No, uniforms. Let's put that in the budget.
Put
it in the budget. I don't know if we'll be able to, but we really, our uniforms need a little bit of
We should really start looking at other districts to because
we did. I know exactly the one I want.
The Caballeros.
Does the superintendent get one too?
I would be lovely. So last board meeting, the board accepted the retirements of 21 teachers. And the reason it happened as early as it did is that we had a retirement incentive that was included in the contract. And so the reason I can say this is because in the minutes of the meeting today, we have the names of the teachers. I want to say personally how grateful I am for their years of service to the district. And they continue to work through June. But an early retirement means that they do say early so that we can plan for our budgets for next year. But I want to say with grateful appreciation, thank you for all the work that they've done.
And we will be recognizing them later in the year. Right? Okay. School board recognition? I always feel a little uncomfortable.
So today is school board's recognition day. Well, the whole week, actually, is school board recognition. And already in front of the board, we see these beautiful bags of goodies. Rachel, do you want to say anything?
I have my president here that I'm going to introduce who's going to take over.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. All right, good. Good, excellent. So the senior citizens of Plainview.
I made the bags. I hope
well, thank you. Then.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're not sharing.
Don't. On behalf of the POB seniors, I'd like to tell you we are just overjoyed with your encouragement and your support of our club. We have a lovely place to meet, to some place to have the entertainment and in-house parties. So I can't thank you enough. And until I came president, I never realized how much you do for us. A warm, warm thank you to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for the vital part of our community that our senior citizens are. So thank you very much for making our community what it is today.
Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce our former president, Marilyn Sachs, that has citation here for you guys.
Oh, do I need my glasses?
Now's the time to think about it.
Oh, there's Seth.
Good evening, board members, Superintendent Laura Lewis, and Plainview Old Bethpage visitors and friends. Our Plainview Old Bethpage Senior Citizen Club will celebrate 27 years enjoying our meetings at this 85 Jamaica Avenue School. We appreciate the use of the facilities for meetings, parties, entertainment, speakers, and education. We are open to invite new senior members to join us. We thank Superintendent Lorna Lewis, President Debbie Bernstein, Vice President Ginger Lieberman, and trustees for their help in keeping our membership very happy with our certificate of appreciation. I'm giving it to you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you, all of our senior citizens, for making our community what it is today.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you.
I see. Forgive me, but I
Arnie
do not.
Representing Chuck Arnie? Arnie Drucker.
Arnie, representing.
Good evening. I'm Arnie Drucker, and I'm here on behalf of Assemblyman Chuck Levine. And he had called me this morning because he could not make it, so he asked me to stand in for him to recognize, to present you with a citation to recognize the wonderful job and service that this board does and has done and continues to do to maintain the level of distinction and excellence in education that is not only recognized here in Long Island, but is recognized throughout the state and the country. And when he asked me this morning to stand in for him, it was pretty apropos because I'm a product of the Plainview schools, okay? And I grew up in Plainview. I went to Joyce Road Elementary School. I went to Stratford Road, which used to be the middle school, and POB Middle, which was the high school. And I think I got a pretty good education. And I liked it so much, I got married and came back and raised two children here, and they're products of the Plainview school system as well. And I think, I'd like, not bragging, but I think they're both pretty successful in their own right now, having this Plainview Obeth Page education behind them. So with that being said, I would like to read to you the citation that has been presented to this board from the New York State Assembly. And it says, whereas a great state achieves that most unique status only as a result of the extraordinary contributions made by its citizenry, as exemplified by Plainview Obeth Page Board of Education, which has rendered remarkable and outstanding service to our community, and on this day is recognized on the occasion of the New York State School Board Recognition Week. And whereas such civic dedication and service, which are indeed the lifeblood of any great community, people, and state, well merit and warrant special recognition, now therefore be it resolved that as a duly elected member of the Assembly of the State of New York, I recognize that Plainview Obeth Page Board of Education is well worthy of the esteem of both our community and the great state of New York. And it's signed by Charles D. Levine, member of the Assembly.
Thank you very much, and thank him on our behalf.
I will, and congratulations to all of you.
Thank you.
I see Councilwoman Rebecca Lessie, and she's also a parent. So,
and Rebecca Loader here, girl.
I didn't hear you, Agent Joe. Oh, thank you very much. So good evening, everybody. It's wonderful to see you all, and it's always a pleasure to come here to recognize the school board. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Council... Oh, I know the whole first row! Sorry, for goodness sake. I'm Councilwoman Rebecca Alessia from the town of Oyster Bay. I'll just comment, interestingly, that I have several personal friends who are new to the school board over the last couple of years, and when they were getting ready to run for school board, I said to them, you know, I think I have a tough job, but school board is very difficult because it's completely volunteer, and, you know, you really have to think about what you're getting into, and I'll tell you that after the last week, I would definitely rather be sitting where you are than sitting where I am.
And we believe you.
Having introduced a little bit of levity into it, I will only comment specifically that your town government is still working for you, all six board members. We've all been in town hall Thursday, Friday, and today. We remain available throughout this tumultuous time. But that is not what we're here to discuss tonight. I am here to say is thank you. Thank you on behalf of my son, Charlie. Thank you on behalf of all the children in his class. Thank you on behalf of everything that you have been doing. We entrust you year after year to do a bang-up job with our kids, and you never disappoint. Everywhere we go in the world with our son, we are told how smart he is, how articulate he is, and how well-mannered he is. And that is in large part due to the work that each and every one of you do here in this room. And what's more important, what's more significant to me, is that every morning he leaves for school happy and excited to go there. And that is irreplaceable. I don't know where else you could find it the way we have it in the POB community. And so it's really, I mean, I do a lot of this, but it really means something when I come here. And it is my honor and privilege to present you with this citation on behalf of the entire town board of Oyster Bay. We're so appreciative for what you do to make Plainview Old Beth Page the best community in the town. And I can say that because I live here. Thank you guys all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No photo tonight. Great, no photo.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I
I do have to run off to another, but I will be at PTA Council tomorrow night and have more time to answer questions if anyone has them, and I can answer them.
Thanks,
thank you.
Rebecca.
Thank you very much.
Paula? PTA Council.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Jim is saying something. But I didn't, so. I would have suggested that you get up and say something.
They're all excited goodies.
Back a little bit. Are those cookies from? Thank you. Who made those cookies?
Thank you.
Patrice.
Oh my God.
And that's exactly what she said you were.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patrice's cookies. Did I get one?
Oh, we're so excited.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
These cookies are the bomb.
Oh my God.
Enjoy. Are they on our diets?
Oh.
This all goes with our nutrition.
Yes,
right?
When I start smoking.
Is my mouth?
Don't help it.
Her, the woman,
that's
knows
right
how to be.
Oh, I know.
Hmm.
I mean, really. I'm taking this on my trip.
I don't know. So far, you're taking a lot of stuff on your trip.
Where are you
it's
going?
All food.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes.
That's a trip.
Thank
you. Yes. You need two of those baths.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Up, are you coming and taking it back? No, she is.
Oh, look, a little coffee.
No, I had two.
Okay. Band-aid, a little.
Hi.
Hi.
Paula Barsky. I'm speaking on behalf of PTA Council and its 8 units. We'd like to thank the board for all that it's done for the school district, and we know sometimes it's a tough job, so we've kind of created a survival guide for you, which is in your jars. And Jen's going to pull out what I say. You have a paper clip to hold everything together.
We need that.
A Band-Aid to be, no, a rubber band to be flexible. You're confusing me, Jen. Laffy Taffy to remind you to laugh often. Yeah, well, that helps. Smarties to help you make the smart decisions.
Oh.
All right, well, imagine sitting
now what's
a Band-Aid for when things get a little tough. As we know, it doesn't happen often here. Starburst for a burst of energy. A lot of them. A marker to leave your mark on the school district. Juicy Fruit to remind you to stick to it.
God, I love Juicy Fruit. When
and
I was
a Starbucks latte to say thanks a latte.
Oh.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And in addition, we figured you'd like something sweet. So we, Patrice Finkelstein, one of our board members, made a little care package for all of you. Thank you very much for
thank
all you,
you
did.
Thank you. And you know what? There isn't a PTA Recognition Day, but we'd like to thank you for all you all do for our students and our school district. So thank you.
Thank you very
but
much.
But we're still not sharing.
Try to make it sound
like you were better. Did I miss anyone?
Jim.
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 Good evening, everyone. This evening, the Administrators, Supervisors, and Directors Association, or ASDA, encompassing 33 Plainview Old Bethpage administrators, is pleased to recognize our Board of Education for their continued advocacy of the students in our district. Your care and concern for the personal and scholastic growth of our students is unwavering. As a sign of our appreciation, and knowing how much you care about each individual child, we present you with a special gift, one that gives back to children in need from places not as fortunate as our own district. Part of the proceeds from your Bright Future gift will go to UNICEF, demonstrating support of their mission to help all children reach their full potential. Thank you again, and keep up the great and important work.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you and all the administrators for all you do.
Thank you.
The best administrative team in town. Oh, my God, Christmas Eve.
It's okay. Thank you. It's okay.
You got the hunt of the bag.
Okay, now I have a problem. That's because you went. No, that's because he went to Temple today.
Yes,
it's true.
Thank you.
What you got?
We didn't open it yet.
Okay.
Thank you very much, everybody. We really appreciate you appreciating us. And on behalf of the board, I would like to say that thank everyone for the very meaningful words and recognition. We do this because we love our community, our schools, and our children, and we really appreciate being recognized, particularly for doing something we love to do. So thank you. Okay, we're going on to school property tax bill.
Mr.
Okay, so I guess sometime last week, school property tax bills started showing up at people's houses. It might have started showing up on a Friday. So the mystery continues with the Nassau County school property tax bills. The presentation, I believe, is photocopied, so I won't go through all of these terms in the glossary. However, they're there. And just to give you an idea of what happened, many people saw a rather large increase in their tax bills, despite the fact that the school board passed a school budget, a school tax levy of less than 0.25%, and it was below the property tax cap. A few things that I'm trying to show in these charts. First, you can see that from the 2016 tax roll year to the 2017 tax roll year. Total assessed values in Plainview Old Bethpage decreased by more than 7.5%. However, the share of the assessed value shifted. In 2016, businesses, class 4 properties took up 35% of the tax pie. Utilities took up 3% of the tax pie, and class 1 homeowners took up 62% of the tax pie. In 2017, you can see that the red portion of the graph grew to 65%. So class 1 homeowners took on a larger portion of total assessed values. In the beginning of October, the Nassau County Legislature passed their adjusted base proportions, and what that does is it distributes the share of the tax levy among the different classes of taxes. And you can see that going from 16-17, just focusing on class 1 homeowners, they shifted the tax burden more towards homeowners, increasing it by just over 1%. Meanwhile, if you look at yellow, utilities, their share decreased by 28%, and class 4 commercial businesses went down 1.1%. So what this does is shift more of the tax burden onto class 1 homeowners. The last piece of it is that the real property taxes used to compute the tax rate shifted more towards class 1 homeowners. So while the district tax levy went up by about $280,000, more than $1.2 million of the total tax pie got shifted to class 1 homeowners. So in summary, we stayed well below or we stayed below the cap. We didn't go up to our cap. Nassau County assessment system plays a large portion in developing the tax bills. If your assessed value for your home remained the same from 16 to 17, your property tax bill increased from 5 to 10%, depending on your exemptions and taxable assessed value. And the trend is the lower the taxable assessed value on someone's home, the greater the property tax increase in their tax bill. Do you have any questions on this mystery?
No, that's a good one. Anybody have any questions?
Can I mention that flyer?
That what flyer?
The one I showed you.
Oh,
absolutely.
Sure.
We always get blamed for everything.
Sorry, what did you say? So there was a flyer that it's on. There was a flyer that went out about from Nassau County saying that school taxes went up and property taxes went down and very large. It came out from Nassau County. This is not exactly true, as you can see based on the presentation. Nassau County shifted their portion to the school taxes. So when you get material like this, and especially in election years, please just realize that this is what Rich presented, that this is how it really works. So graphs can be manipulated to show whatever people want it to say. So that's all I would like to beware of taxpayers.
Thank you.
Can I say something?
Yeah, I really agree with Susan. You know, when the literature starts coming out, and anybody who goes through our budget process with us knows exactly where we're coming from, how we're staying under the cap, we're doing everything we can, and then to see somebody say that the taxes went, was it 71%? I don't have in front of me. Yeah. Considering we've had a tax cap for X number of years, people don't vote on Nassau County budget.
No.
People don't vote on anybody's budget but ours.
Right.
And I think that it is just a really bad position to put the people who are being picked on the most, who have a cap or abiding by the cap, trying to give the taxpayers what they're supposed to get, having unfunded mandates thrown at us and doing everything we're supposed to do. And I think that that kind of literature is totally irresponsible.
Yeah.
When we raise the taxes, we admit we do it. But certainly staying below a cap and being the largest employer in Plainview Old Bethpage, we have a lot of responsibility for a lot of lives, a lot of jobs, and a lot of other things, let alone educating every single child that's coming through. And to pit us against everybody else is just unfair.
Yeah, no, that's why.
Especially with incorrect information.
Right, that's why. I mean, I can, if anybody wants to see it, it did go mail, it was mailed to homes, but yeah, so. Tax bills were increased over from 67 to 71%. County bill was decreased from 19 to 16%.
Perhaps so.
Well, I know, but I can't be political. So just please understand when you get material like this that we are not in control of how they shift the percentages. And are we going to go on to the pilots? So I hold that comment? Or
Hold it. No other questions or comments? Okay, then we're going to go on to Cox & Company pilot.
Okay, something we're keeping our eye on and really school districts in general are really starting to get more involved with are payments in lieu of taxes. We're becoming more concerned about the impact of pilots and school districts' abilities to raise revenue in the tax cap era. Going back into the 60s, there was legislation passed that was designed to facilitate economic development across New York State, not just here in Plainview Old Bethpage. Property owned or controlled by industrial development agencies are exempt from property and mortgage recording taxes. The value of these exemptions can be passed through to the assisted business. There can also be tax breaks on sales tax related to the development and operations of the project. And it's important to note that even though these properties are taken off the tax rolls, the agreement has the pilot payments, the payment in lieu of taxes, being shared with the local tax jurisdictions, whether it's a school district, library district, town, or county. All right, so payments do come, but the businesses are off the tax rolls. We're concerned about this really based on the fact that they're part of our tax levy calculation, and the pilots are deducted from the tax levy calculation. Therefore, they don't grow with the allowable tax levy growth factor or the tax-based growth factor. We'll revisit that when we start calculating our tax levy next February in March. The statute, once again, removes the IDA from the property tax rolls. And when we look at these, a community should look at the potential for increased job growth and industrial development in the community against the side effects of removing the property from the tax rolls and from the tax cap calculation. So something that's an up-and-comer, I'm sorry about that, wrong button, something that's an up-and-comer here is actually an existing pilot, which a company has proposed to extend. Recently, really last week, they pulled back their initial application to extend it, so we're expecting that they're going to send in a revision to their application. The original agreement with Cox & Company, Plainview Steel, began in November 2008 and expires in December 2019. A significant amount in terms of pilots have been paid out through this to the various property taxing entities. And also, they did get some sales tax exemption through this project. After they, if and when they submit their new application to extend this pilot, a public hearing will be scheduled. The IDA is required to hold a hearing. However, it is free to take action with or without input from the district or other people who choose to attend the hearing. During the term of the present agreement, which began in 2008, they had to retain existing jobs in the first year, create at least 10 new full-time jobs and five new part-time jobs, and maintain them through the extent of the agreement. And in year two, they had to create an additional 15 full-time jobs and hold on to them through the extent of the agreement. And then they also had to create 20 temporary full-time jobs during the agreement. Those, for the most part, would be thought of as being developing the project or other things during their business cycle. They also were encouraged to use local sources for contractors and construction, so when they put things out to bid, at least one bid set had to go out to a Nassau County contractor. So as we get more information on this, we certainly will pass it on to the board and we'll bring it back as a discussion item. Do you have any questions on that?
So one of the things I think also the public should be aware of, that the IDA is an appointed body from, in this case, it would be Nassau County legislators, who act as a government agency. So these are people that you can't go and necessarily call and say, we voted for you, why are you doing this to our community? But there was something that came from NISBA, the New York State School Board of Association. The state tax cap formula is something that can be brought to the attention of our New York State legislators, the Assembly, and to the Senate because of the way that these front-loaded payments are used in the formulas, that there has to be a way to balance both growth in a community and protect the school district from having to readjust and lose programming because we have to do certain mandated costs and we have contractual issues that have to, need to be met. So, you know, this is a combination, and I think this particular company that is affecting Plainview right now is just a beginning of Valley Stream just lost Green Acres. I'm not sure if you followed Newsday, but they just took a hit. Yeah. When that came off the rolls, Lorna, you had the percentages.
Well, the thing to note about Valley Stream is that Valley Stream 30 at Elementary District, they actually put out a tax levy that was negative. In other words, this year's levy is less than last year's levy. And even though their levy was negative, when the Nassau County put out the tax information, the district residents went up 12%. Because Valley Stream, you know, there's a lot of construction going on in Green Acres Mall, and during construction, they got a pilot payment, so they came off the rolls during construction. And so those monies had to be made up by the residents of the community.
That's the problem.
So even though the school district actually said we are asking for less from our public, so the district will be getting less dollars, but those dollars had to be that are lacking from the payment from the mall, they had to make up those dollars. So that's what pilots do. And in a tax cap era, the pilots really affect our formulas. We do not get our fair share. When, you know, the legislator gives out the pilots, that sounds great. But in a tax cap, they're not excluded from our computations. Or they are excluded, actually. That's the problem. But we get hurt by those pilots. Districts, because you, the residents, have to make up whatever the shortfall is.
So this is some information that when you are going to the polls and using your right to vote, that you should be aware of, that is starting to affect our community too. And there are places of voicing your opinions about these the IDA at Nassau County and then the IDA at the state level. So it's things that you should be sharing with your friends about this.
Ginger? Yeah, I think that we have to, as a community, realize our limited commercial base to begin with. And when we start to lose something, we have to begin to question the impact goes to the homeowners. When Central General Hospital became Norwell, whatever it is now, we lost $640,000 in tax money that came to the school district. And when that happened, I remember us having a conversation about how do you make it up? But money, you could raise taxes. There are other things we could do that was much easier. We have to just look at what's out there and realize that so much of what's going on comes back to us. We can walk the communities. We have a couple of strip malls. We have a couple of industrial parks. But we're not Syosset, and we're not Syosset, Woodbury, or Jericho, where they own all of Jericho Turnpike. They have so much income coming in from every other place. And I think that we have to really begin to go to these hearings and begin to question, what about the residents? And then we get blamed when something comes out and saying that we increase the taxes 71%. It's just very unfair, and I think it's something that has to be looked into and something has to change, because we can't keep enduring these kinds of hits on our taxpayers. Do you think it would be appropriate for our legislative committee to put together a letter to send to these bodies that Susan pointed out? Listen to us, yep. Okay. And I think the PTAs, if we want to get flyers out, so, you know, anybody's available during the day when they have a hearing can go and hear exactly what's going on and speak up for us, because that's what we have to do. Rachel will get a bus for your people. They'll march.
Richard, any sense of when they're going to resubmit for an extension? I thought it was on there, but it was pretty quick.
I'm going to pass that across to council. I don't think we have a timeline on when they might resubmit an application.
We haven't been provided any information.
But they're obligated to provide notice to the district, though.
Yes. Yeah. Of the hearing.
Of the hearing. And I guess when the time comes, I'll ask questions about the specific. I don't want to belabor it.
Susan?
So one of the things we should also recognize with this Cox and Company, who already have an pilot, they're going to be asking, they're expanding their operations to become Plainview. Cox and Company is one company, and they're expanding into Plainview Steel. Plainview Steel is a subsidiary of Steel Equities, which was in Hicksville, and now is one of the largest leaseholders of the Grumman property over there in that industrial area, who also have just Steel Equities just received an IDA pilot through the IDA, I believe to the 2030-33, whatever year that is out. Something to be thought of, Cox and Company is a perfect STEM company, is aeronautics and engineering. Steel Equities is a steel fabrication. Now, I'm not an expert in steel fabrication, but I'm going to assume that there are certain chemicals and energies that are used in this type of production that we as a community may want to question with corrosive water, wastewaters, or emissions out of a factory when they're fabricating the steel. So it's something that hopefully as soon as we find out, Barbara, when the meeting, the hearing is happening, that we can broadcast it to the community so they are aware, because we found this haphazardly. It was just a legal notice in the Newsday. We did not
receive notice.
Oh, I thought we didn't.
No, they did.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Then I take that back. I apologize for that. But we need to be more... We need to be more aware of it, because I think community members need to know what's going on in our community, what's being asked for our community to handle in the industry. There's one thing between aeronautics and engineering and fabrication of steel products.
Thank you. What do we have next? Summer school report?
Yes.
Thank you, Rich.
Mr. Schwartz was our summer school principal, and he's going to give us a report.
Hello.
I'm going to talk to everybody a little bit about enrollment, scholastic scores, region scores, a little bit about the background.
Are you sure your mic is on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks, Rich. I'm going to talk a little bit about enrollment, scholastic scores, and region scores for this summer. And I just wanted to mention, I know we did not have a middle school rep here to talk about what was going on at Matlin, but I did want to mention we had a very exciting talent show at Matlin this past week. We had about 10 teachers get involved along with the middle school principal, and they did a song and a dance, and that's something we haven't done in some time. So that was one of the highlights from the middle school program. And if you'd like to see it, jump on to the Matlin website. Uh-huh. I put it on the Twitter feed, and you could look at it.
It's go home and watch it.
Yeah, you should watch it. You may
Are
get
you
some. I'm not in it this time.
I was going to say, Tom, I think my first day here, I was hearing about you and Mr. Middleman taking some dance lessons.
Dancing with the stars.
kind of thing. Yeah.
So this was kind of like that, but,
but
not
different.
As cool. So, okay, so here we go. If you take a look behind you, for some of you guys, or if you could see it.
I'm watching.
This is the class size report, and starting on the left shows you the courses. And the middle column shows you the students that are enrolled in classes. And then the final column to the right shows you the review classes. And what's important to note here, if you look at a class like Global 10, that's, I think, four lines down. That class shows that we have four Plainview students in it, one Bethpage student in it. And this is for the class that's going on all summer long. But adjacent to that is 19 students that are scheduled for the Regents Review from Plainview, and then an additional 13 from Bethpage. The backstory with this, for some people may not realize, is that summer school, for students that are taking classes all summer long, they're sitting in those classes each day of the summer program. But midway through the summer, the Regents students who are preparing for the Regents exam enter into a review class. And those students are then woven in to the summer school classes, because many of the students that are enrolled in summer school are preparing for the Regents as well. So I just wanted to make note of that. Those are our numbers. And it continues on to this next slide. And as you can see, if you look down at the totals, we had a total of 65 students sitting scholastically for those classes, and then an additional 132 enrolled from Plainview and another 81 enrolled from Bethpage, giving approximately 285 students enrolled in the program for the summer. A little bit less than what we've had in this past year, at least I can tell you. I can't really remark on the years before that. This slide demonstrates the students that were in the classes and how they fared. We, as you can see, we did very well. These are just Plainview students who sat for our classes. We had a total of 4 failures, 2 coming out of an English course, and then an additional 2 coming out of Common Core Geometry and an Algebra 2 trig. But out of 65 students, 61 did pass the course, and many of those students needed that course to move on with their program. So that's pretty exciting. This slide shows you the Regents exam results, which is pretty interesting. We did not, as you could see, have as many students this year take the Algebra 2 trig. Last year, I think I had something like 50 students take it. I believe it was somewhere around 37 students that passed, and it was about 18 students that failed. Our numbers came up obviously different this year. Common Core Algebra, we had 6 students to 3 students. And then geometry, we had 12 students pass and 8 students fail. Last year, when I looked at the data, we had a total of 4 students attempt to pass the geometry regents. All 4 failed. So it looks like we're making a little bit of progress in the area of geometry. The following slide is our history and science. And when I looked at this slide in comparison to what was occurring in 2015, everything was pretty identical in terms of students passing and failing. It was very interesting. Even living environment, last year we had a total of 2 students pass and 3 students fail. Now if you look at the data, it's showing that we have 6 students passing and 9 students failing. I don't know if next year we're going to have 8 students and it's going to be 12 failing, but the numbers are very similar in terms of science and social studies. And very similar with English. We didn't have any students pass the English exam last year. I think we had a total of 3 take it. These are the number of students that passed overall. 68 students and 54 had failed. These are Plainview students. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that's involved. Summer school, although it may look like it's 22, 24 days in length, most of the work takes place really in the late spring. And one day this summer I sat for a while just thinking about the number of people that were involved and the number of people that I spoke to, and it felt like hundreds of people, from everybody involved in technology to aides to the high school clericals. I worked with each one, the custodians. It's really a vast product that you have to kind of put forth that takes place long before the summer program begins and then long after it. I still am getting calls from other school districts. Can you give me a score for this and a score for that? The other side note I wanted to mention is just in the past I was able to give the Bethpage information. The practice has changed with BOCES. BOCES is no longer allowing us to get those scores back. They've changed the process, so we can score multiple choice and things like that here, but then we have to send them out to an ASAP account where they are scored by BOCES, and then all those scores are sent over to the homeschool district. So we take in kids from all different types of school districts in and around here, but we don't have access to those scores any longer because they changed that whole process. Did you guys have any questions? Yeah.
Living environment.
Why do you think the kids have such a hard time with it?
You know, I don't know. I just found it interesting that the data in terms of living environment was identical. We just increased in the numbers. I was more interested in actually chemistry. I've heard Dr. Lewis speak in the past and other science people talk about chemistry being one of the more challenging content areas, and that you would typically see the data dropped off compared to other Regents exams. And when I looked at chemistry, I actually thought we did pretty good in both years. In my opinion, this year we had 14 students pass, 6 fail. Last year, we had 17 students pass and 5 fail, and that goes back to what I was saying in terms of the data being very even from year to year. I think my biggest concern as somebody that's responsible for the program is I'm really concerned about the math and why we did so well in geometry versus Algebra 2 trig. And that's something that I've just kind of have been interested in. I met with Jill briefly on. I've met with the new math chair, and I also attended a workshop on an AIS program about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, to see if that program would be a good fit for our program this summer. So I'm continuing to explore, but that's really an area where it just seems to be up and down. And the teachers that I have are the same teachers I had last year. So your guess is as good as mine.
Thanks, Tom.
Susan.
Just curious, is this data inclusive of special ed students?
It is. Yes, it is. Yes. It's about, I would say, about a third of the students, close to 40% of the students are special education students.
Okay. Now, also, with the Algebra 2, if they have failed this, because this was the last year that this past June was the last year that Algebra 2 is being given as a hybrid option.
Yes, that's correct.
If the 8 kids who failed, are they allowed to take the Algebra 2 again, or do we have to now switch them into a CC, a Common Core A2 class? Is New York State producing A2 trig again?
Or I now don't they have believe to, they are.
They're not.
This
so
was their last
start.
Year.
So this is it.
We fought for that for algebra. We won that, and people really violated that effort.
Okay. All right. So these students now have to drown.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Ginger that remark. Tom has really done a really nice job being proactive, looking at the students ahead of time, working with particularly the special education department to see how we could address specific student needs, especially if a student has failed an exam over and over again. He met with me to look at some online programs that we could provide students. We know that these students, it's a struggle for them to come in the summertime. So what are other ways we can capture their attention? He has taken the initiative on his own to go to some further workshops to look at some other instruments that we could be using that might be unique for these kids. So I want to say, although Tom, you expressed that a lot of people are involved in the process, he's really taken such a nice lead role. And looking at each individual child and saying, what can we do? I know Dr. Lewis had a meeting with some of our administrators to look at some students in a group to say, the student passed the course, but they might have failed this exam. They failed this exam multiple times. Like, how can we make some adaptive programs within their courses this year so they're not really failing over and over again? And I can't imagine sitting for the same exam multiple times. And for some of these kids have passed the course and they haven't passed the exam. So again, Tom, I know the board, really appreciates your work, but he really has taken a strong interest in the individual kids. Debbie, I just want to clarify one thing. I don't know if it was clear. We do have just Beth Page students.
Right.
I saw your face.
My face.
So it's Beth Page and Plainview who are in the program. However, on the day of testing, we do take in other students to take the exam on site here. We've had some parents kind of walk in at the very last minute and demand that. Tom has been very accommodating, staying late to make sure that child had a test the next day.
Yeah, that is correct. I apologize for not being clear. We do take in, if they're Plainview residents and they're going to a school district, they're going to a separate school. It could be a yeshiva or a Catholic school, but they do have residency here. Then we do provide them with the exam, and I have to get those scores over to them there. But yes, the other main program is Beth Page that comes over.
Tom, I really wanted to thank you because this was such a detailed report, and I'd like to thank you also for everything that Jill just said, because that certainly adds to the success of our kids. I just had a question because I was looking at the region's results, and I understand that a lot of these students could have not taken our summer school course, but just came in for the regions. But do you have any ideas how we can have our students meet with more success in terms of the regions? Because our failure rate is fairly close to our passing rate overall.
Yeah,
you know?
And it was very similar last year.
Right.
I think looking at longitudinal data is critical, and I do feel a responsibility in this program to make sure that I'm carefully looking at everything. Last year we had 97 students pass and 68 students fail. So I think one of the challenges is certainly we have a population that has some difficulty in learning. I don't know how else to say it. This is also an at-risk population.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When I left New York City many years ago, I felt a void in what I was doing because I loved working with at-risk kids in East Harlem. I loved working with the families, and I'll never forget the moment I started teaching at Lynbrook High School, and I said, please take out your pencil, and every kid did, and I'm like, I don't know if this is going to be so exciting for me. So this program in particular has really kind of filled a void. It's very exciting to work with the kids and their families, and I think it is unfortunately a challenge. But looking at it longitudinally, I'm going to keep exploring and keeping my eyes out there. There's a program called ALEX that I'm interested in for mathematics specifically. It's an online program that would allow students to go online and basically work during a math class, almost like a fast math program. It's an AIS program. The students would then rotate out. The teachers would have a little bit more one-to-one. But I think we're always going to have the challenge of working with some of our students that are really just coming in and are unfortunately not going to be able to climb over the hill. And I hate to say that because I think every kid should really, I hate to have that expectation, but there's some realities with some of it. So I think just continuing to work with Jill and the other chair people, and hopefully we'll get those numbers even higher.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate the empathy you're showing because I think that sometimes we forget that there are children who struggle every day coming to school, and then to have to go to summer school and to fail again, and then to know that you're going to start again in September, and that weight of the world is on you. School's not fun.
No.
That's a hard thing to come in knowing that you're failing, knowing that you're at the bottom, knowing that your friends are going to be graduating and you may still have to go to summer school. You're just hoping you get through. And I think these kids, they struggle. They show up, but it's got to be hard to be in their place. Sure. And so often we sit here and we celebrate all the top students and all the great accolades for everybody else. But that one segment of kids who struggle, and they struggle really from elementary school right on, you could see it in their body language. You could see it in a lot of things they do. And I think it's phenomenal that you have so much empathy and you want to work with them, because really what we want to do is we want them to succeed and feel good about themselves. So I want to just personally say thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for answering my question. And
you got it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay.
Our next report is class size.
Okay. So this is our fall class size report. Looking at our class size actuals from year to year, we take our actuals from our beds day data, which is the first Wednesday in October. So for the 15-16 school year, excuse me, our enrollment, as you can see, was 4,880 students K-12, broken out K-4, 5-8, and 9-12. You can see it. And then we had projected data, which is taken from our last board budget meeting. This is the last data that we had in our projected. We predicted that we'd be slightly lower in our enrollment K-12, Similar set K-4, a little lower in the middle school and about the same in the high school. And as you can see, we came in almost close to what we had last year from the beds data on October 5th this year. We're slightly lower than we were last year, and that really is in the middle school level, where at the high school level we've increased a little bit, and we've increased from K-4, primarily with the kindergarten grade slightly higher than we anticipated overall. When we look at the buildings and how it on the secondary level and how it translates to class size, we can see that most of our classes are running from the, say, 16 to 25 range at the high school, and that is very consistent with what we had last year. And the same thing runs into middle schools. Both POB and Matlin middle schools are consistent with their class sizes. Little shifts here or there from each. One of the bigger shifts was the 31 plus. There are less sections in the 31 plus than there have been in years past. So we have kind of brought everything to the center a little bit with everything, with our staffing and the way we've met the expectations of the board and of our staff.
Yeah, definitely.
Looks at bad. The elementary level, we include kindergarten as in the four home schools. So we do have a difference in the enrollment, as you can see across the bottom, where we see general ed enrollment numbers. And then the number of sections of classes are higher than that, and that is strictly because of the infusion of kindergarten in there. We've maintained our class size well within the guidelines of the Board of Education. And you can see based on the enrollment where we stand in each of the buildings. I think they're all nice, manageable numbers across the board. And then when we look at the overall enrollment in each of the buildings and the class size as it relates to the full-time teaching equivalent staff in each building, you'll see we have 498.03 full-time teaching equivalents for the district, broken out as you can see in the chart here. And that is our class size report for the fall of 2016. Questions?
Questions?
I guess I went to this week. I was noticing in the high school, mm-hmm. we also seem to have a large proportion of classes, sections between 25 and 27. Yet in the class size by school, you have a 20.8. Average class size. Now, is that because certain classes have to be limited due to equipment, i.e. computer stations, lab stations, etc., but then other classes might have 30 children in it?
So you'll have limitations on class size based on exactly what you just said. It could be also the limitations of the room itself. That could present that limitation. And then you'll have others where you'll have a room that can fit 30 children in it or 27 kids in it, and you'll have that. It also could be by the number of sections that we've provided to the principals for the class that may require that. So you have 100 kids and you give four sections. You may not get 25 across the board. You may get one with 20 and one with 30 and the others with 25. And that's really guided by the kids' individual schedules at the secondary level. You could have a child who's in that class, but his whole schedule is being run by the fact that he's in French 2. And there's only one section of French 2, if you will, or one section of something else that could be guiding that child's schedule, or several children that'll change that balance. So you're within the guidelines of the Board of Education, but you may have some different pieces in there. The ones you mentioned and the ones I had, just examples of what could guide that particular piece.
Okay, because that was the only thing I had seen a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, that is consistent with what's been going on the last number of years within the high school and scheduling, and it really is specific year to year to what are the nuances of the schedule and what courses are being offered and new courses and how many singletons do you have and how many kids are looking at those classes and what drives the individual schedule of the kids.
Has it helped that scheduling happens earlier in the process, especially in the secondary, because we have scheduling now January and February. Has that helped the buildings plan to have more even, if it's not limited by a lab or by a computer?
I think any time that you start the discussion earlier and give time for planning, it helps the process. What helps the process is having fair staffing within the guidelines of what you're looking to accomplish. So if you're saying that you want an average class size of something, then you have to staff appropriately to get that something to make it work, recognizing that when you have 1,500 kids in a building, nothing's going to be even. So it is an average. So you will have a class with 18 and a class with 28. But you work to try to balance it out so you don't have those inequities as much as you can. So it's the equitability of staffing that makes it possible.
Okay. I appreciate it, and thank you for putting this all together and answering my questions.
I just wanted to thank you, but especially for the chart that you pointed out with the middle schools and the high school. The board had been concerned for a few years at some of the very large number of very small sections, and on the other side, the a high number in very large sections, and there are many more class numbers now in the middle. Yeah. So I know that didn't easily just happen, so I'd like to thank everybody for their help in that.
The building administration and the schedulers in the buildings have a huge part of that. They have the big role in making that happen as it goes forward. So in all three buildings, the administration does a lot to help with that and make recommendations and work with us on that. So.
And we appreciate
it's a big job for everybody.
For sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're going to go on to the 9-period day feedback. Good job.
Popper. Okay, good evening, everybody. I'm back. I'm here to talk to you a little bit now about the transition from the 8-period day to a full 9-period day, and just give you some feedback on how it's going so far. I can tell you it's been a very smooth transition from that model to the new model. I've interviewed students. I met with them through the site-based as well as our building advisory committee. I spoke with staff via our SRC in the building to get feedback, and of course the parents through our PTA. I could tell you that the cafeteria is much busier this year. We did, of course, increase from periods 3 through 7 lunch period to 3 through 8, and that has really been very helpful. Throughout each of the lunch periods, you will find that the lunch periods are filled. They really are. Students have an opportunity now to, of course, eat lunch, relax, and socialize. Many students who hadn't been taking advantage of having a lunch period are now doing so. There are a significant number of students who have more than one free period in a day. So those students, some of them wanted it that way, where others, of course, have come down to us and to try and get themselves into an elective class where they hadn't planned on that before. So that our guidance counselors has worked with them on for those students that were interested in that. You would find also our libraries being utilized a lot more. It's quite filled. The Holocaust and Genocide Center, the Women's Studies Center, the loft area with the comfortable seating. Right. Students are taking advantage of using those places where they hadn't been doing so much in the past. In addition, we created that small computer lab the year before where the Artifacts Museum was. It's a very small location. It's like 6 or 7 computers, in maybe 8, in that small area, and students use that all the time just for fun or catching up on schoolwork. There are a significant number of students, however, that are taking advantage of the additional class. And for those students that, like I said before, hadn't scheduled for that in the prior year, we scheduled them for that this coming year. In addition to that, the prescriptive remedial is now in place. After the first week of school, according to the memorandum of agreement, the building administration met with the leadership of the SRC in the building to review our draft model of how it would look like for the year. They worked on it together just to make sure that contractual agreements were all in place. We posted the schedule on our website as well as e-blasting it out to all the school community so that this way everybody's fully aware. for how it's going. And it's being utilized. I didn't anticipate it was going to be an overwhelming amount of students that were using it, but the availability for it is there. We did try to schedule it, that was the recommendation, as much as possible during the lunch periods, because that's when the majority of the students would be free. At least we tried to do that. But there is prescriptive remedial throughout the day. The extra help during period 10. In talking to teachers, they report that the Monday through Thursday model is working out very well. They find that every teacher and every student is free during period 10, so it's a win-win as far as that's concerned. From an administrative perspective as well, I mean, I also have the opportunity to meet with my entire faculty for faculty meetings, and department chairs can do the same with department meetings. So from that perspective, that's also a good thing for us. The teacher location chart for their remedials has also been posted on the website and e-blasted out. From the student perspective, they're finding that the extra help during period 10 is working out very well as well. When asked them about not having it on a Friday, they shake their heads. A concern that they raise and parents raise as well is if they have an assessment come Monday, they don't have the opportunity to go for extra help on a Friday. So they've had to learn to kind of plan accordingly, and teachers have as well, to make sure that assessments are given enough notice so that students, if they want to go for extra help, can do so prior to that Monday assessment. But that is something that I continue to talk to teachers about, that maybe doing something like that, especially a big assessment come Monday, is probably not the best idea, and when possible to avoid doing so. Passing time in between periods. As you recall, it was reduced from 4 minutes to 3. And that was something that we talked about at great length. It was a concern of mine how that was going to work. We tested it out. If you remember, former board member Emily carrying the books, you know, in hand, and walked and tested it from one side of the building to the other. And I was witness to that. She did do that. But anyway, students that were polled report that it really has not been a problem. Teachers have been very understanding with them. At the beginning of the year, they would question them why they would be late, and once they explained that they were coming from the art wing and had to go up onto the second floor through that traffic jam, teachers understood, and they no longer ask them about that. That remains still a bit of a problem is if they have to use the bathroom in between periods, both for students and for teachers. That is kind of tough to get to the bathroom and get back. But they work together. They work together on it. right. Our student support managers or deans this year, we're utilizing them a little bit differently as far as assisting us with the lateness issues to class. They're also this year talking to the students about why they're late and notifying teachers that, you know, they've spoken to the child. If you're not already aware that this is the travel pattern that the student has to make, for those kids that are having a recurring problem, that should be fixed, that is doable, they're in touch with the parents to notify them about that. We did a lateness to class report looking at the number of students that had been late. So we were curious about that from September through October up until last week, from last year, comparing that same amount of time to this year. Last year, there were 529 students marked late throughout the entire day, not to school, just throughout the day, each individual period. And as of right now, we had 558. So a difference of 29, it's negligible. Bathroom breaks for students and staff is, like I mentioned to you before, sometimes problematic. But other than that, we kind of are working on that together. Plans for the next school year. We want to encourage, of course, more students to enroll in an additional course so they do not have that 2 free periods. But some kids, they do feel that they need that. I think our communication could be a little bit better working with the eighth graders as they're scheduling for ninth grade, because if you recall, when they did the scheduling last year, we still hadn't approved the model yet.
Right.
So now there'll be no doubt in everybody's mind on, you know, what we're offering. I also want to, you know, tell you as well, if you were concerned about the cafeteria, I forgot to mention this before, We did go from closed campus, not only from the ninth grade, but for the ninth and the 10th grade. So, you know, keep that in mind as well, that we do have more students that are in the cafeteria for that reason. But we do have enough furniture and you know, all of that stuff. That's not been a problem. Scheduling and promoting our course electives to increase student awareness of what we're offering. We're working on that. I'm working with the guidance department on our process for getting that information out there so that this way all these new courses that we're working on can be presented better. And as we're going through the new course proposal process for next year, we're really trying to be reflective on what we're offering to make sure we're offering the students the courses that are most interesting, relevant, and current options for them going forward. That's my report.
Questions?
Any questions about Ms. Stewart?
Have you heard anything about, I know it came up in one of the PTA meetings, exams and the timing, now like a 39-minute versus, and teachers having to reorganize some exams?
Yeah, I was at that PTA meeting when that was brought up. What she was referring to is the thinking that before they had 42-minute test periods, and have the teachers been reflective of that and made adjustments to tests from last year to this year for now that we have a 40-minute period instead of the 42-minute period. I met with the SRC last week as a reminder to them about this and that this was a concern. They've reassured me that this is something that they have spoken to the teachers about as well, but they will continue to do so. And if there are any kind of, you know, thinking that there are tests that were too long or not given enough time, then they should contact the teacher.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. Yes.
The cafeteria, I know you mentioned it at the end. That's one of the things I was just curious about, which is in terms of the number of students increase that are taking lunch, but also since the campus has been closed, and even before we had a discussion over doing a 9-period day, we discussed basically looking at how absorbing another closed campus is. So is there a concern that we don't have the capacity to absorb that increase? I know part of our discussion, we didn't decide to do 11th grade,
right,
but part of the discussion was, let's see how this goes. Should we decide to do that? Is there a concern that we don't have the capacity to absorb the number of students that we would have to take?
Just to be clear, your question, should we decide to close campus for the 11th grade?
And we haven't discussed that, right?
I know that. We haven't discussed that, right. And that's something I would have a whole long study on to
right.
do that. But that's, in essence, what you're asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a concern of mine.
That's
why I wasn't interested in proposing it in the first place.
Okay.
Because I would be concerned that it would have space.
Right now, there is not a concern with the closed campus and more students.
With the 9th and 10th grade being closed, correct.
Okay.
And I really do think that next year I will have fewer number of students in the cafeteria and in the library, because I do think that they'll want to take advantage of the additional class. Because I saw that this year. I saw students who would have liked to have taken a course during their free period, but there may not have been something available for them, because
right.
a lot of those elective courses are singletons.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Jim, I don't expect this tonight, but is there a way of seeing, with the addition of an extra period, how many students took lunch, how many students took an AP and a college course, and how many students took electives? I'd just be curious to see what that breakdown would be. And I know last year when we were discussing the 9-period day, we also discussed adding some really interesting electives since kids would have the opportunity to take them. So hopefully your team is working on coming up with some great ideas.
Oh, they definitely are with regard to that last. With the first question, how many students ended up taking lunch? I could give you the number
that
of students.
That wouldn't have taken lunch if we only had an 8-period day.
I don't know how I would have known that.
I don't know either.
Because
I thought maybe you'd know that.
Well, only because I don't know which was a priority to them, whether it be, like, if they have lunch now and they have an elective now, Is there a way of me being able to tell that
maybe we should survey
which is the
students?
One that they added in? We did, when we did the scheduling from them last year, ask them in the event that we do have a ninth, you know, nine period day.
What would you like to take?
But that may not be actual data
because what
ended up happening out of that may be different. But I'm going to take a look at that and see if I can get answers to these questions for you.
Thank you. One other question.
Yeah.
I heard, and I don't know if this is just rumor,
sure.
That remedial classes have become more crowded. Is that the case? Are we having a problem with that?
You know, I'm not hearing complaints from teachers telling me that they're having too many students in class,
okay.
And I think I would hear that from them if they weren't. Nor am I getting complaints from parents or students about that.
Okay.
But that's not to say that, you know, a math class before a test could be very busy or, you know, science, any of those academic classes, because I bet you they are. And I don't know how long necessarily they stay. A lot of times they're busy and then they get an answer to that question
and they
move on. They're not there the entire time period.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for the report.
My pleasure.
Available for the board's discussion. We, of course, we had a settled contract that allows us to begin our year before Labor Day for faculty. So we're going to, and we have 183 school days that we needed to calendar. So for some reason, our calendar is again tight. You know, just
no matter how many days
it doesn't matter how many days we have, it ended up being tight. But anyway, we were able to fit that in, and we have three snow days. We would begin school for children on the Tuesday following Labor Day. So that's a major shift. In the past, we would have started for faculty the Tuesday, and then students would come in on the Wednesday. So people have to get back after Labor Day because the next day would be school. So that's the change. But we will have the March 29th day. Well, we'll have a February break, which is good. March 29th will be a possible vacation day, possible snow day. March 29th is Holy Thursday, so to be noted. But it isn't an obligation day. It is a it's a day that people do who are religious, like myself. I do go and celebrate Holy Thursday. The next snow day that we have is the day before Memorial Day, which is the Friday. So that's the first to go. So your Memorial Day is the first to go. And then Holy Thursday will be the second. So let's hope we have a good winter. And then finally, if we have 3 days, I want to make it clear so parents understand this. June 25th would be the third snow day, not for kids, because the kids would have already done their 180, but it would be a snow day for faculty. So faculty would not have done their 183. So it's not for children, but it would be a professional development day for staff. Third. That would be the third. Let's hope it's a good winter.
I agree.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions or comments?
Just one more thing. I did say that we were going to present this as a draft, and I sent it to the units, the PTA, and to all the presidents of the union. We will not be putting it before the board for adoption until a month from now, so that all the PTA units can present to their PTA, so there's enough time. I checked to make sure all the PTAs have a meeting in between now and then. And then at the second board meeting in November, we will bring this back. So we do need comments, and we'll bring that back to the board the second meeting in November so we can make it public.
Great. Thank you very much. Now we're going to go on to recognition of legislator Judy Jacobs. I just want to say as an aside tonight being Board Recognition Day was kind of bittersweet because I've certainly never had a Board Recognition Day that Judy wasn't here, and so it was very bittersweet.
Yes. So certainly we all recognize the loss of Judy. She was everywhere. She was present for everything that we did. Matlin's, she gave us some bullet aid for, there's another name for it, but I'll call it bullet aid, for Matlin's playground, which is about to go up. So it seems fitting that given the depth in which she impacted our lives, that the board might consider using their naming policy to name a structure in her honor. And I did get an email today, which was very interesting. Yeah. I shared with the board, Mr. Weiss, and I'm going to mention him because he wanted to be here but couldn't be here. He suggested, why not name a school after her, and showed us a model of another district that renamed a school but kept the name of the school. So, for example, he used the example, Parkway Judith Jacobs. Was it the other way around? Parkway. The Judith Jacobs Parkway Elementary School, which I thought was different, different in a very nice way. And knowing, I mean, there wasn't a year that she didn't have the Parkway Elementary students at the legislature. I think everybody would be fighting over which school, though. That's the
true.
Other thing. Because she really was everywhere and meant a great deal to a lot of people. But that's the board to consider.
Ginger?
Yeah. This is a hard one for me.
Yeah.
Judy has a legacy at every single school. Yeah. All of our elementary schools, we have playgrounds. And when I was writing a proposal to have Judy honored, hopefully in this coming March, I had the stuff from Syosset Woodbury, I had the stuff from Jericho and Plainville Bethpage. The common thread was playground materials, the big toys, bleachers, lighting, and things like that. But Judy found something very unique in our science program, in the relationship that was formed between Hofstra Medical School, Northwell, and our school, and our students. And I think everybody would want a playground named after Judy. Everybody would find something in a middle school to name after Judy. But the high schools are constant, and everybody goes through it. And I don't know what part of us, in the science wing or something, that she was so proud of the achievement of our students, that, and her daughter is a physician, and it sort of just blends in, that if I had to pick something for Judy, and if she was sitting here today, it would be something with our science department, because anybody can buy playground equipment, but to make a relationship between a school district and a hospital and a medical school overstretched everything that she was. And I would like us, Jim, to look to see whether it's a science wing or something, because every child will go through that, and every child will have a course in that wing. And if I just had to read her mind, I would say that that would make Judy smile an awful lot.
The research program?
Yeah. I mean, just whatever it is, but that was something that she held so special with our school district, and it just separated us out, albeit our meetings with her and everything else, but that community outreach, that piece of Judy has impacted lives in a very different way. You know, whether it's a child thinking about medical school or EMT or something like that, the white coat ceremony that she liked to just sit there and celebrate.
She was so proud of
that. She was so proud of it. And these were things that came from meetings between our school district and Joyce and everything else, and those marriages that were made, and that's where I think it should be.
Anybody else want to?
On a personal note,
she made an outreach when Hannah was chosen to go from LifeSAF, the Long Island Science, and unbeknownst, and Hannah got an email from, she asked me, who is this person? And I explained to her, and I go, by the way, her daughter was your first pediatrician, too. So it was very personal. It was not something we ever expected, but the congratulations that she shared with our family was wonderful, and, you know, it was special, and it was a moment to be cherished. I can also, though, say that I know she was also very proud of the students she took into the legislative body under, like, Ben Chasen. Am I allowed?
Cheryl Dender's daughter was one of her interns.
I think the students that she has personally helped in our district would be also just, you know, she wasn't, I know science is special because of Linda, but she's proud of all our students. I mean, I do think.
I don't want it to be. I said everybody will have had a Judy Jacobs experience. Mm-hmm. But for the years that she collaborated and put something together, and it wasn't because of Linda. It was because we talked to her once about a need that we had. It started with microscopes, that we were looking for money for microscopes. And then Judy took the microscope, and Joyce Berry said, but if we don't have microscopes, if we could do this, and we made the attachment first to Plainview Hospital. And that she just took and ran with. And I just, you know, to me, that my best friend would have really loved that.
Personally, Judy loved all children.
Yeah.
And Judy loved education. And it's a loss for everybody. You know, my kids always looked forward to Parkway, to sitting in legislator seats, and Judy being the person in charge, having the children act as legislators and some as constituents and getting up and arguing for a bill that they believed in, yeah, should be made into a law. And it was very special every single year. And her visits to the schools were special. She was one of a kind. She really was. And we all absolutely loved her very much. So, Ginger, I think you had a great idea. And we always had such good times with Judy as well.
Ginger, although, you know, not every child might go through the research program, one of the initiatives that came out of that partnership with the hospital is that every first grader was getting a hand-washing lesson from the medical program. This year, we've actually expanded it to first and second grade. Obviously, the lessons change a little bit about germs and disease, but, you know, that came out of that partnership with the older kids and then certainly Hofstra Medical School. So, you know, it keeps growing.
So can I suggest, now that you kind of know the direction we're going in, can you come back to us with a proposal working with Jim, and we'll move forward?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're going on to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process, or those of others, could in some way be violated. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is now open.
That's wonderful.
Hi, Paula Barsky, 30 Cornell Drive, Plainview. I just wanted to invite everyone to attend our PTA Council meeting tomorrow night. Councilwoman Rebecca Alessia will be there. She will be listening to community members on the Parkland acres that were retained by Town of Oyster Bay through the Beechwood Development Agreement. And she would like to get feedback from all Plainview, all Bethpage families. So please come and attend. And at 7:30 at the high school in the LGI. And hopefully we'll have a nice turnout. In addition, I'm putting on my other hat now, SEPTA The SEPTA paint party is coming up soon, November 10th. I think I sent emails to everyone, but we actually updated the flyer. Our SEPTA award winner is Robert Pickus, who is in charge of the, he's actually director of the Challenger Division of the Plainview Little League, and we'd love for everyone to attend. Great raffles, not as good as the district event, but great raffles, and we hope to see everyone there, and I'm just going to leave you some flyers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paula. And I think on behalf of the board, I'd like to thank PTA Council for hosting two things this week, both so informative to our residents. The candidates forum that Jody spoke about before and the council meeting. So thank you.
Stephanie Nelkins, 55 Acorn Lane. Anecdotal regarding the 9-period day, I asked my son before I left what he thought, and he's a junior, so he knows the difference. So like a freshman's not going to know the difference. He said the day goes really fast, which is good when he wants a day to go fast, like on a Friday. But he said he feels it's a rush, and the thing is, as a junior, he's taking some tough courses, and it's just more of a rush. It is what it is. He does the best he can. He happens to take tests fast, so that's...
He's fortunate.
You know, I mean, that's helpful for him. I know for some other kids, it's a strain. As far as anecdotal, I mean, I've only heard about math, but I've been hearing that extra help in the high school is very crowded to the extent that some kids just, they don't go. They'll find an outside source to do it for them. So I just think in terms of collecting data, I think you have to be very careful of how you're going to collect the data, even knowing, let's say, did kids take an extra elective of this or that? I was very involved in my son's choice of electives because whereas he may have wanted to do things, I said, no, I'm going to make sure there's a certain balance. In fact, I asked his guidance counselor for this extra period. I only want a class you could even can verify this with him. I said, it's like a blow off. I mean, not to be mean, but I didn't want anything that was bringing home an extra test, any extra work that came back into the house. I mean, I think it's great. He's totally enjoying the class that he's having.
Well, that was part of our motivation,
you know,
to tell you the truth.
He's totally enjoying it, but it's sort of, on the flip side, he was upset that they didn't have enough time to discuss certain things in his history class because it's like a rush. And that those 2 minutes can be a lot. You can get a lot done. So, you know, it's an up and down. So I'm just throwing that out. I don't think it helps, but...
Well, thanks for your feedback.
Just whatever. It was from a kid. he's busy tutoring. As far as Judy Jacobs, I think it's a great idea, and certainly I would defer to anything that, you know, obviously you're like best friends, Ginger, but I do think just throwing this out there, just totally throwing this out there, that a school name is very visible to everyone, whereas the inside of the school, I don't know that it's going to sink in, especially when you're running through in 3 minutes, because I know there's a reading room in the library that has a name on it, and I wouldn't be able to know the name. So just, you know, but the outside school is a very visible way of showing everybody. Just a thought. And it would be no offense to someone who was on the Stratford side of town to have that there. It would still be nice for me, even if my kid didn't go there. So just a thought.
Thank you.
Jack Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive, Plainview. Those members of the board that have heard me in the past about the open meetings law, I didn't harangue the board this year because apparently my suggestions were not implemented, but I do want to point out that under the open meetings law, you're supposed to deliberate in public on matters pertaining to the school district on the motions. I see here in routine business 8.1 to 8.5. recommendations to approve various contracts, and I've been listening very carefully, and I did not hear the board deliberate on any of these contracts in public here. And also, I expect on 8.6 to continue the use of the pupil benefits plan. I would expect that the board would deliberate in public about that before either voting it up or down.
Chuck, I'm at a loss on this one. Many of these are services, and typically these are services that the central administration is recommending. Yes. This is the opportunity for the board to deliberate in public. There would have been no other opportunity prior to this. So we are making a recommendation, and now the board can deliberate in public about it.
And so if somebody has a question, they will be asking it.
Well, according 8.1 to 8.5, not to be argumentative, it says here to sign a contract. Now, the board should have.
But you haven't done it yet.
Barbara, you want to?
The board didn't.
We recommend as central administration, we recommend it to the board. The board now has the opportunity to discuss and vote.
Okay.
Barbara, is there anything you want to add?
Corrected. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. I almost forgot to say that, Gary, but I will always remember to say it. Can I get a motion on routine business? Ginger, a second. Jody, any discussion on routine business? No? Okay. Correct. Go right ahead. Oh, yes. Okay, so all those in favor of routine business? Thank you. Lauren?
I just wanted to thank SNAP for the crockpot donations and cake pans for the Life Skills Room and the books and toys for Stratford.
Thank you. Now we're going on to new business. Can I get a motion on consultant service agreement? Rennell? Lauren, any discussion? All those in favor? Can I get a motion that we approve the field trips for the athletics department? Ginger, second. Seth? Discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. Can I get a motion to enter into executive session for negotiations? Jody, second. Rennell, all those in favor? Thank you. Thank you for attending, and drive home safely.
You sound terrible.
My voice is definitely going. Every time I go to a wedding and I have to talk over people, this happens.
I'm
going
to speak to Judy's daughters.
I would have. Ever. I personally don't think.
But, you know, it's.
I'll speak to
the girls.
Okay.
They'll be thrilled with whatever is done.
I agree. I personally think, at first I was thinking, okay.